Welcome to Castle Country Focus. This is your host, Delynn Fielding. Today we are talking to Senator David Hinkins, our state senator from District 27. District 27 encompasses Carbon, Emery, Grand, San Juan, and parts of Utah and Wasatch counties. We appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today, Senator.
My pleasure.
The legislature is going, and yes. That keeps you busy. So what's your schedule today?
Okay, well, today I have infrastructure of general governments, which is the Appropriations Committee, which we appropriate money for transportation and the buildings, like all the higher education buildings, as well as state office buildings, road sheds and things like that for Department of UDOT and other things. And so we talk about that and have presentations by the different departments. And then especially some of the things we deal with is the security of the internet security and stuff of all of our government agencies. We have a lot of people, just like they're talking about hacking into our, it's millions of hits a day that they try to get into our system. And so we have a group that basically tries to make sure that they don't get into it and get any, because there's all the citizens, all their social security numbers and all their information's in this, and so we don't want them to be able to get access to any of that sort of stuff. And so that's one of the things we'll be talking about today. Yesterday, and on then today, I've got our natural resources, which we'll start listening to bills. We got a little bit of floor time today from 11 till noon. And then tonight, the governor's State of the State address is from 6:30 to 7:30, where he'll give us a update of the status of the state's financial, as well as other issues and stuff that's going on. So we look forward to that. Yesterday was our natural resource appropriation, which I serve as the chairman of, and we listened to some of the department head issues that they have. One of them, which was Department of Gas, Oil, and Mining, which involves our area, is some of the cutbacks in the price of oil and gas and impacted their finances, because they get a portion of the money that comes in from coal royalties as well as oil and gas. And so that's what runs the Department of Gas, Oil, and Mining. And we had to subsidize that last year. And basically, we got an update from Mr. Baza, who's the department head, that he says they're in pretty good shape right now. They don't foresee any more requests. There's not a lot of permitting going on right now, that they're pretty well status quo. And so then we listen to the Department of Energy that for the governor's office, that some of the things that's going on. And so I presented a bill yesterday to Business and Labor, which was for acupuncture. It was the sunset that it sunsetted, and so I got that passed through the bill yesterday. We'll be ongoing to the further practices of acupuncture, which is kind of interesting.
So it allows for licensing of people who practice acupuncture?
It was going, it would be like first time it was 5 years that they looked it over, and then they done another 10 years. But anyway, it's been going for 35 years. And so basically we took the sunset away now. The bill takes the sunset so that they'll be able to, it's an ongoing practice and stuff like that, which is, you know, mm-hmm. Like I said, it's been under review for 35 years, and so it's probably time to lift there wasn't any restrictions on it anyway, but so basically they don't have to come back every 5 or 10 years for this problem. So, but things are, you know, starting to get a little bit exciting. We're going to be doing our budget requests, which we've got several for our area. Carbon County has got several for the flooding problems that we've had there. We're trying to get some money to help the county redo some of the structures and things that were taken out from the flooding in Wellington and Hilper. And we're also talking about lining a canal there and Price that could possibly have a problem if it was to break and to do even more catastrophic damages as far as flooding and stuff. And so we've got some funding requests for there, as well as for out in the Emery area. They're trying to do salinity projects to put in sprinklers and stuff. We're trying to help them get some money for that as well. So it'd be kind of interesting to see, you know, there's not a lot of surplus. Well, there's never a lot of surplus, but probably we'll be lucky to get too much appropriations, extra appropriations on top of what the budget already is. So we'll work hard to try to do that, but see where it goes.
Is the education discussion moving along as far as increasing the, you know, income tax percentage? What's happening there?
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that they're basically saying, that if there was, we're trying to look for other ways instead of having it on income taxes per se. I mean, I'd rather see it go on to, if we're going to increase education funding, income taxes is kind of a production, a tax on production, on productive people, and where I would think that if a sales tax, that's kind of a willing thing. If you don't want to spend your money, you don't really need to, but if you want to buy something, if you can afford to, those that can afford it will be able to, the taxes, you know, it could put a higher sales tax or something and be able to generate more money for education rather than people's income. You know, I think that that's kind of counterproductive.
Now, you mentioned before we started the program that you have some visitors coming up.
Yeah, we have every year the youth councils. We have a group from, I know, from Orangeville coming today, as well as, I believe, Barron. And also I have, which is my Senate district, Springville and Mapleton. And what it is the youth city councils that will come up, and they'll spend the day here on the legislature. We'll have a luncheon at the with all the youth, and so they'll be on tours here at the Capitol today. They have mock legislation that kind of teaches the youth of the cities what goes on in the legislative up here. And so they're going to, we'll be having a lunch with them at the what was the Salt Palace. I'm not sure what they call it now, but we'll be having a luncheon with them today with the youth. And so it's a good chance to meet with them. I have my intern and stuff. We'll be take them on tours of the Capitol and stuff like that today. So it'll be a fun day for them. We got a couple inches of snow, so I hope they can arrive safely.
Well, that's interesting. It keeps you busy moving right around. Yes. Are there any things that we should pay particular attention to in the next week or two that might be important for our area?
Well, right now, I think, like you said, education is basically the center of attention. There's maybe a little extra money in the education funds and stuff, but as far as any of the general funds, we're pretty well even, so I don't think there's going to see a lot of changes. We're not going to have a major cut, but we're also probably not going to have any major increases other than possibly education, where there was a little bit of extra money there that we might be able to get the WPU funds increased, and that's what we're hoping for. So there's one thing that we're working on is CITLA lands. We're trying to get more funding. Of course, CITLA's over a $2 billion trust fund, that the interest and stuff is taken off of that for education. And there's talking about access to the land. So as that moves along, I'll be able to give you a little bit more update on that in the next week or two.
Okay, that sounds good.
But I appreciate all the support I get from down there. If there's any issues, of course, love to see people when they come up here, and don't hesitate to call if there's some issues, or email me that if people see things that's going to impact their lives, I'll darn sure look into it and see what we can do to slow the flow.
Well,
a lot of things that looks good for the cities up here is not a good thing for us. And so I think sometimes the papers make it look like it would be good for the state, when really it's going to impact rural Utah quite a bit. And we just need to make sure that we don't look at that. We don't allow that to happen.
Yes, and we appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Rural senators are pretty well outnumbered. There's about four of us that in the Senate that comes from rural Utah. The rest of them are pretty much from the metropolitan area here on the Wasatch Front. So we have to keep our eyes on them pretty good. And so all the eyes we can have in our districts that keep us aware of that, all the better, because there's so many things going on now. There's like 10 committees a day that's going on, and then you serve on one. So it's hard to know what's going on the other nine, and so it really helps when people that live in rural Utah are kind of keeping an eye on that, especially if they're involved in education or the mayors and stuff, because public subdivisions and stuff like that. If they would make me aware of things that's going to impact us negatively, so we can try to block it as soon as possible. It would really help. So,
well, and that's great. I mean, you are our representative there, and mm-hmm. so asking yep. for help and input, I think that's great.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And so any all the eyes and ears we can have to, you know, to minimize the impact on our rural areas is greatly appreciated. So,
well, we've been talking with Senator Hinkins today, and he's asking for your input. If you're seeing things that you don't understand or things that need to be different, to let him know. I do know that he has some clout and can many times make things happen. Thank you, Senator, for talking with us today, and have a good day.
My pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to give some input on it. So thank you.
Thank you.